Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the ETF Show. I'm Tom Bailey, the ETFs editor at Interactive Investor. So today we're joined by Hector McNeill, who's a co-founder and co-CEO of Han ETF, one of the UK's leading ETF issuers. So Han ETF is known for launching more niche and alternative ETF strategies. So you won't find among their product list many ETFs tracking your standard FTSE or S&P indices. Instead, the company has an array of thematic strategies focused on everything from space to medical cannabis to emerging market e-commerce. So this year, Han ETF has had a flurry of new ETF launches. So today we've got Hector here to talk to us about all these different ETF launches, which are all available or soon to be available on the IO platform. So Hector, let's start with perhaps my favorite, Yoda ETF. Do you want to explain the broad theme behind this and the index it tracks?
Yeah, may the force be with you, Tom. Yeah, so pardon my levity there, but no, Yoda's fantastic first in Europe. It's the first space-related ETF, and basically it invests in companies that are relatively pure play in the space scene. You know, from satellite technologies, space technology hardware, you know, rocket and satellite manufacturing, you know, and telecommunications. So, you know, as we well know, the you know, space has democratized incredibly over the last sort of 20 years, where, you know, in the past it was all about Russia and the US going to space, and you know, many more countries, you know, probably in its 20 plus now, you know, have got space projects, and you know, it used to be the satellite was the size of a bus, you know, or a small car, and now it's the size of a mobile phone. So, you know, that industry is completely you know, on its tracks. And one interesting stat I like on the space industry is that 80% of the R&D and development going into space now is private money. It's not government money. Only 20% is government money, which I think would surprise a lot of people.
Well, yeah, because there's a new space race this time, not between two countries, but between two billionaires, Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson. So in the ETF is Virgin Galactic, but there's much more, as you kind of mentioned, there's much more to the commercialization of space.
Exactly. And I do think it's funny when we compare Branson and Bezos, because Bezos has got a little bit more means behind him than Branson, really. But then again, Branson's got a great track record of getting ahead of the curve when it comes to travel, obviously with you know, Virgin Airlines, for example. But no, you know, you've got a whole bunch of stuff in here. Companies you would know, like Garmin, you know, Comcast, etc. But it's also got some you know, pretty obscure companies as well. You know, like Iridium, Communi, and Sirius XM, etc. You know, companies that are very, very specialist. You know, and actually, what's really exciting, you probably heard, there's been recent launches in the private markets fund side as well, and I think that just shows the burgeoning pipeline. You know, potentially unicorns coming into this space as well. Pardon the pun there, but certainly, you know, I think it's one sort of mega trend that, you know, is not just here for next year or the year after. It's here for good, and as you say, you know, lots of the billionaires, you know, you didn't mention Musk there as well. You know, he's getting in the act as well, and I think they just see, you know, the massive potential outcomes that can happen through this. And as you mentioned at the start, you know, Yoda's got to be the best ticker ever for an ETF, you know, which I think is almost one reason to have it on your portfolio just for that.
So another launch has been US Global Jets ETF, ticker Jets. So this is a UK version of the currently popular US ETF, correct?
Yeah, correct. So the US global guys, you know, have been massively successful with Jets in the US, and you know, it's garnered about 4 billion of assets. You know, it's probably one of the most, you know, popular thematic ETFs on the planet, really. And you know, lucky enough, we've been talking to for quite a while and thought that. You know, European investors needed the opportunity to be able to invest in the recovery play that is airlines and airports. You know, and you know, it's a fantastic ETF, very targeted. You know, and I think gives investors a great way to play. You know, to play the resurgence of, you know, not just the corporate travel, but also the leisure travel as that happens. I mean, we've seen the impact that's had on COVID. you know, and it's got to be a bounce back trade in the not too distant future. So yeah, we're very excited by Jets for sure.
It seems in the US, which this is a very US focused ETF, it's exclusively US companies, right?
No, it's got some overseas companies in there. You know, you've got the likes of Singapore Airlines and Turkavar, but it is largely US. You know, because obviously there's a lot of extremely large companies there. You know, it's got the likes of Ryanair and China Southern, but it does have airports in there as well. So it's not just airlines, but it is very much on that airline play for sure.
I suppose that more global focused is good in the sense that it seems that US air travel has definitely been the quickest to return, but Europe and Asia is still way behind. So,
yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the reality is that obviously, you know, the US is almost like a continent in itself, isn't it? You know, so it doesn't necessarily have to rely on tourists and visitors from outside. You know, it's got a, you know, if you've ever got a plane in the US, you know, it's almost as easy as catching a bus. So, you know, it's very straightforward. I think that recovery has happened very, very quickly, you know, and I think that's going to be the driving engine to this for sure.
And another way to play this global travel recovery theme is obviously your ETF TRYP, T-R-Y-P. It's the airlines, hotel and cruise lines ETF. So this is obviously, it has airlines in, as the name suggests, but also Carnival, with, you know, cruise ships and hotels and everything like that. Do you want to explain a bit more about this ETF?
Yeah, so we always like to have sort of industry plays and you know, more targeted plays where the sector's big enough. So we felt it was very synergistic to have you know, an airline specific product and then a more direct play across the whole travel scene, you know, and it's about 40% hotels, 40% airlines, and then about 20% cruise liners. So it's got a real real good play there. And if you look at it, you know, the ETFs that are available that sort of cover the travel space currently in Europe, you know, a lot of them have a lot of leisure companies in there as well, which we think is not a pure play. So, you know, quite rightly, I mean, you know, the top holding, you know, top three holdings on TRYP are Hilton, you know, Ryanair and Marriott, you know, all with about, you know, 4.5 to nearly 5% holding. So it's very diversified, you know, but you've even got in there, you know, Royal Caribbean, Norwegian Cruises, you know. So again, this is a real nice bounce back trade, probably a little bit less focused on business. More on the leisure side of it. So again, there could be, you know, a deeper discount argument for this product, you know, versus Jets. But I think they're both pretty synergistic from that perspective.
Moving on to, say, you've had a few launches in the renewable energy space. So to start with TANN, T-A-N-N, is its ticker, the solar energy ETF.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at renewables, the solar sector is probably the biggest and the most scalable in the renewables area. And bizarrely enough, you know, Europe has not had its any dedicated solar technology ETF. So this is a first again. And if you look at, you know, things like the First Trust solar product in the US, I think it's over $6 billion now. So it's a very meaningful sector. You know, and you know, there's been a bit of argument, I suppose, about the you know, some of the, you know, a lot of money chasing these stocks and overblowing them. You know, but I would argue that you know, these are all very, very long term trends. You know, and you shouldn't be really investing in these for tomorrow or the next week or the next month or whatever. You know, these are you know, long term trends. You know, away from that sort of decarbonization story. You know, and solar is going to play a, you know, a major part in that. I mean, there is some argument that solar could actually provide the full solution for our global energy needs. You know, and I think the scale of these industries is great now. And I think what's been nice as well is you've seen the world diversify in who's producing solar panels and solar technology now. You know, predominantly where it started in the US and then moving out to Asia and, you know, even some growth in other places like Europe, etc. So, you know, there's some companies that really wouldn't you see in other parts of your portfolios. You know, some companies are even find hard to say. I mean, Jinko Solar is the largest stock. Zinhua Energy, second largest. Solar Pack is the third. You know, and they're all about 2-3% maximum. So it's a very, very diversified basket is a solar product. So you've got a lot of spread across a lot of different stocks there from that perspective. So I'm really excited by this. I mean, this is what I personally, I've got some money in, and really, so I've got to declare that interest, but it's certainly one that I like as well, not just because of the potential for returns, but also, the impact it's having for the future as well.
So what is the geographic split like? Because obviously there's lots of news stories about the concerns about the reliance of the solar industry on supply chains in China. What's the index's kind of geographic breakdown?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's actually ironically 42% US is the index, which you'd be surprised about. The next largest country is Germany at 15%, but then obviously a lot of that then falls out to be Hong Kong, Taiwan, and Japan. But you would have expected to be far more heavily weighted, to Asia. But I do think that obviously with the technology, you've got to say the US probably leads the world in most technologies. And I think with the with the impending Biden stimulus plans and infrastructure plays, I think there's been a lot of preparation for that vis-a-vis with the US getting its act together in the space. So yeah, no, it's 42% US. So I think that's pretty solid diversification, really. I mean, you know yourself, a lot of the tech heavy thematic products, are probably predominantly US. So it's nice to see, a thematic play that's, got a really, really nice broad global feel to it, really.
In the same kind of territory is your new clean energy ETF. So its full name is HAN ETF S&P Global Clean Energy Select HAN Zero. Ticker is zero. That's quite a mouthful. So this ETF, it uses the old index on the S&P of 30 stocks that the iShares Clean Energy product used to use, but recently dropped. So obviously, kind of why would investors now want to use this index in your product?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, really, Tom. We spent a lot of time deliberating on this, and our thought process around this was that the widening of the benchmark for the iShares product INRG, meant that the index became a bit less of a purer play. And we still felt that, I think that product's taken about $7.5-8 billion of assets, in Europe, and the equivalent product in the US has done pretty much the same. So, 15 plus billion, and there was some argument that was ballooning the prices inside the index, and that's why they wanted to diversify. But we felt that the price had come off a fair bit since then, and we also felt that there would be enough of an investor base out of that, 7 or 8 billion, who still preferred the pure play, the 30 companies. So we felt that they were leaving some money on the table there. So we decided to take that. Second point is that we're slightly cheaper. We're 55 basis points instead of 65, and we've added, which I'm really excited about, is the HAN Zero facility, which this is our first product to include this facility that HAN has uniquely created for ETFs. Which is essentially we take that clean energy index, and with S&P we calculate the impact of a dollar spent on that investment and what carbon impact that dollar has in that investment. And then what we do is we take that carbon calculation, and then we work with a company called South Pole, and we buy carbon offset programs to neutralize that carbon impact. So it's not part of the return of the fund. It's a service that we're offering within the fund that we believe that any ESG index, even low carbon indices, still have a carbon impact. And as we know, most companies aren't aiming, or organisations, governments, etc., aren't aiming for carbon neutrality till 2050. But we believe investors care way more about it before 2050 and want to take action now. So basically zero, which I think the ticker just says what it is, really, takes a bit of that TER, that 55 basis points, and we spend that to go and get carbon offset programs. And the two we're using on this product is a wind farm project in Indonesia and a reforestation project in Papua New Guinea. And we look after that, and it's no extra cost to the investor. It's all part of the TER, You know, so you're getting a cheaper product than iShares, and you're getting it carbon neutral as well. So if you really care about carbon neutrality, you know, this is the first product to have that. And you probably saw that we announced that we're about to do another ETF, the first ESG active equity ETF in Europe, where we're applying Hanzero again.
Yeah, I was just about to ask about this because literally a couple of hours ago, got the press release in my inbox. So this is the Saturna Sustainable ESG Equity Hanzero ETF. Now, obviously, this uses the same Hanzero carbon offsetting facility. Just for a start, because what is also unique about this ETF is that it's active. And just for listeners who don't might be scratching their head, you know, how can an ETF be active? Can you kind of explain first the rise of active ETFs lately?
Yeah. I think as usual, what happens is we import trends from the US because they're sort of 3 to 5 years ahead of us in their ETF market versus Europe. And active ETFs, you know, have been probably the big success story in the US over the last 2 years. A lot of people have heard of a lady called Cathy Wood and ARK Investments, and all her ETFs are active. And what that really means is instead of somebody using an index, you know, like the FTSE 100, you know, to make investment decisions in the fund, because those ETFs just track the index. An active person is making those decisions. They're choosing, you know, they're looking at a universe of stocks, and they're picking, you know, 25, 30, 50 stocks, you know, that they want to choose. And a lot of people conflate ETFs with passive, and really just the ETF is just a wrapper, like a mutual fund. And in the same way in mutual funds, you find index products or passive products, you know, but mostly active products. You'll see that increasingly in the ETF market. And I think where it's quite exciting, Tom, is, you know, it will give investors a proper chance to have, you know, very diversified portfolios, you know, that they can include, you know, not just passive products, but also active going forward. And I think that'll be a big major advancement. And the great beauty of someone like Saturna coming to the market, I mean, they're, a $6 billion US California-based ESG company, you know, who've been doing ESG for 20 plus years. And the fund that they're bringing over in this ETF, the equivalent fund in the US has got, you know, five globes with Morningstar. You know, they live and breathe the ESG story. You know, they've got a 600-acre forest in California where they have a camp called Camp Saturna, where they take kids, you know, and teach them about the environment, etc. So there's a lot of really good, interesting things there that are quite cool, really. So I think it just brings a new level of product to people, really, that didn't exist before.
And what do you think the portfolio will look like for this ETF? I mean, what's the kind of the investment philosophy behind Saturna typically?
Yeah, so they basically, you know, long-term investors, impact investors. So they'll buy, you know, companies that they see as high quality, you know, giving long-term returns. So they definitely will be jumping on the bandwagon. Can't talk too much about the holdings yet because we haven't listed it yet. But they typically, you know, hold around 25 to 35 holdings. They've got a long-term track record of performance, you know, it's got a you know, I think it's got a really nice feel to it, and they're absolute experts when it comes to the ESG space, you know. And again, the investment through Hanzero will be carbon neutral as well. So where I'm really excited about it is I think we're bringing a real, you know, tried and tested manager to the ETF market, and it'll be really interesting to see how that takes off. You know, just simple things like where you buy an active mutual fund today, you know, you need to wait, you know, a couple of days until you find out your price because you don't know it at the time you buy it. Whereas obviously with this ETF, you'll get the price as soon as you go on the market. So, you know, it'll trade just like any other ETF and, you know, you'll get that instantaneous, what I call that Amazon Prime gratification that you get with ETFs. So it'll be really interesting to see how, you know, taking a well-tested and tried and tested manager to the ETF market and proving that concept. And I would say probably about 10 to 15% of all our ETFs over time will be active, Tom. I think it's a real exciting space for the ETF market generally, but for HAN in particular.
That's interesting. And I guess, obviously, maybe you can't say, but more and more of the ETFs will have this HAN Zero element attached to
Yeah, for sure, for sure. No, we're investigating the ones we currently have and the ones we want to do in the future, and we may have a few surprises up our sleeve on this. And you know, we really do want to change the market here. You know, we don't want to be we want to make sure people just don't copy us for the sake of it. But you know, we want to make sure that, you know, if there is an ability to speed up that carbon neutrality, you know, and offer investors what they need, then we want to be part of that.
Now, sticking with the ESG theme, another launch this year was the AUAG ESG Gold Mining ETF, which is the first ESG gold mining ETF launched in Europe. Its ticker is ESGO. Do you want to explain that?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one because everybody loves gold miners. You know, there's always a switch between gold and gold miners. You know, and quite clearly, you know, mining isn't a particularly clean industry. So what we've tried to do, we work with a company called Sustain Analytics, and we screen every gold miner in the mining universe, and we rank them by their ESG rating, risk ratings, and then what we do is we take only the top 25 of those companies, and we include them in the index on an equal weighted basis. So effectively, you're buying the best ESG companies out there, so you're avoiding the you know, the really dirty companies. You know, and you've got like a screening process that makes sure that you're, you know, you're holding some pretty good, you know, pressure on that industry to get better. And we think this will become the leading product in this space. It's also an SFDR8 fund, which means it's, you know, also rated as an ESG fund under the regulation. So it's quite exciting from that perspective. And sitting alongside RMAU, the Royal Mint's physical gold that only holds responsibly sourced gold, we think we've got the you know, the cleanest physical gold ETF and the cleanest gold mining ETF out there as well. So yeah, very excited about this one.
Great, and then just one final question. We mentioned some of your tickers, Yoda, TAM. They've got puns behind them sometimes. Trip. Who comes up with them and how? How does it happen?
Yeah, it's a bit of an informal committee, really. We tend to chuck it around internally, and you know, somebody gets a bottle of wine for who comes up with the best one. And I think it's a real nice way to engage, you know, the broader team and get people bought into what we're doing. And also, it's nice to see people's reactions in the market, whether that's market makers or exchanges or end clients, whatever. You know, I mean, this with the Yoda one even got in the Boston Globe, where I had a picture of Yoda from Star Wars and said, you know, there's even an ETF called Yoda now. So that's fantastic, really. So it's good fun. It's good fun.
Well, thanks, Hector. That was interesting. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please like and subscribe. And, of course, you can find loads more investment insights and ideas at ii.co.uk. And I'll be back next month for another episode of The ETF Show. Bye for now.